Psalm chapter 78 tonight, and I want us to look, begin with me tonight, if you would, and let's jump down to verse number 10. The Bible said, they kept not the covenant of God, refused to walk in His law. I want you to notice the next four words. Forgot His works and His wonders that He had shown them. Marvelous things did He in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt and the field of Zion. He divided the sea, caused them to pass through. He made the waters to stand as a heap. Man, my God tonight can heap water. Think about that. Try that sometime. Verse 14 said, in the daytime also, He led them with a cloud and all the night with a light of fire. He clave the rocks in wilderness and gave them drink out of the great depths. He brought streams also out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. And they sinned yet more against Him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. And they tempted God in their hearts by asking meat for their lust. Yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Behold, He smote the rock, that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can He give bread also? Can He provide flesh for His people? Our Father, tonight we're thankful for these few moments You've given us tonight to gather together around the Word of God to study its truths. Lord, help us tonight to be an encouragement and a blessing to these Your people as they already have been to us just by showing up tonight. Have Your will and way. We'll thank You and praise You for what You're going to do. We ask in Christ's name for His sake. Amen. I want to take verse number 18 and 19, and notice verse number 19 said, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? I want us to think for a few moments on the subject, can God? I'd like to say, yes, God can. Can God tonight? See, as you study Psalm chapter 78, it is a psalm of instruction covering Israel's history from Egypt until the time of David. In this psalm, we see the failure of God's people, but we see the faithfulness and the goodness of God. See, God is good regardless of you and I this afternoon. It shows what happens when we forget God's faithfulness and God's goodness. Look again at verse number 19. Yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Now why? Why did they begin to question God? All that God had done for them, why did they ask this question? Why did they say, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? You see the answer to that in verse number 10 and 11. It said there's three reasons. I really only want to speak about one of them tonight. But it said they kept not His covenant. Then it said they refused to walk in His ways and walk in His law. And then it said they forgot His works. They forgot what He had done. Might think about that for a moment. Think about what God had done for those folks. And I want us tonight to think about what God has done for us. And when we get in that wilderness situation, we need to remember what God has done in the past. I'm saying tonight, can God? Yes, God can. Let me ask you this. Have you ever been in a wilderness experience? A time of doubting God, His goodness, His power, and yes, sometimes even His salvation. We sometimes question God. We sometimes go through that valley. You must understand when you're going through the valley tonight, when you find yourself having a wilderness experience tonight, you're not alone. Others, you get into the Bible. You see others that your preacher this morning was talking about how people through the Word of God suffered. But hey, God was still faithful. And God will take care of them. And God will bring us through it. But we need to remember and remind ourselves of what God has done in the past. You're not alone. There was Thomas. Now, it'll take me a while to get to the outline and just give us an introduction. But there was Thomas. Think about Thomas. I mean, he walked with the Lord for some three and a half years. And yet, Jesus goes to Calvary. He goes into the tomb. He comes out on the third day. And he appears to the disciples in the upper room, and Thomas was not there. Boy, when we miss a service, we never know what we're missing. Jesus showed up. The disciples said to him, we have seen the Lord. And Thomas said in John 20:25, except I see the print in his hands, the print of the nails, and put my hand in his side, I will not believe. What he's saying, hey, Thomas, he was in the wilderness there. He was doubting that God had really raised from the dead. But my 8 days later, Jesus comes again, and Thomas was present. And Jesus said, come on, Thomas, put your finger there in the nail. Put your hand in my side. And Thomas said, my Lord and my God. Hey, I'm saying tonight that you and I sometimes get in that wilderness, and we need to remember what God has done. Oh, we'll see it in a few moments. Hey, there was John. Think about John the Baptist. He's the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. He stepped out in John 1:29 and said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. I mean, think about who he was. He introduced Jesus. But yet we find him in a jail cell in Matthew chapter 11, verse 2 and 3. The Bible said that John heard in the prison the words of Christ, sent two of his disciples, said unto him, art thou he that should come, or should we look for another? What he is saying, just because you're saved, hey, I've been saved 48 years come this November. I would tell you how long I've been preaching, but I'm embarrassed to, because when I get through, you'll say, well, he should have learned how to preach in all those years. But listen, folks, there's John, and yet he's doubting because he's going through a wilderness experience. Hey, I like this one. There was the early church that doubted the release of Peter from prison, even though they were praying for his release. I love that story when I read it in Acts chapter 12. And you know how that Herod had put Peter in jail, and James had been killed, and Peter's on death row, so to speak. They're just waiting a few days, and they're going to put him to death. But as you study Acts chapter 12, and you find that the church is praying, they're praying, oh, Peter's in jail, and God sends the angel down. He's being guarded by 16 soldiers. Read Acts chapter 12. My, he's being guarded. The angel shows up and gets him out of those chains. He said, get your garments on, get your sandals on, and he leads him out of that place. You look at Acts chapter 12, and it says he goes to where they were praying. He knocks on the door. A little girl by the name of Rhoda comes. She gets so excited, she hears his voice. She goes back to the prayer meeting. Said, it's Peter. And they said, no, it can't be Peter. He's in jail. Hey, how many times have you prayed for something not expecting it to happen? Oh, listen. It said Peter knocked on the door of the gate. That little damsel Rhoda came. When she knew Peter's voice, she opened out the door for gladness, run, and said, Peter stood before the gate. Verse 15 of Acts chapter 12 said, they said unto her, thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then they said, it is his angel. Can't be Peter. Peter's in jail. Hey, you're mad, girl. Peter's over there. He can't be at the door. Even though they had been praying for him. Then Peter continued knocking. And when they opened the door, they saw him and were astonished. They were shocked. God had answered their prayer. How many times do we do the same thing? Hey, I say sometimes you and I live in that wilderness of doubt. Let me give you a couple others. Hey, listen, there was Martha as to the resurrection of her brother. In John chapter 11, verse 39 and 40, Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh. He had been to bed dead 4 days. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that thou shouldest believe thou wouldest see the glory of God? Let me stop there just a moment and put a plug in. Now, I hope, preacher, there's a couple of areas in the Bible that I'm dogmatical. I mean, I believe that I have in my hand tonight an accurate copy of the Word of God. I don't think so. I don't hope so. I haven't. I like how plain it is. Somebody says, you know, preacher, some of those other versions, they are so simple that they're so easy to read. I don't believe that because I've read some of them. Let me just, this verse made me think of it. Now I want you to think, Jesus said, Martha said, Lord, by this time he what? He stinketh. Now, I was reading one of the others one day, and it said this. It said, by this time, Lord, he hath an odor. Now, I grew up in West Virginia. I didn't know what a bathroom was until I was a teenager. Matter of fact, until I left home. I mean, we had an outhouse. Not one time did I ever hear anybody else walk by the old outhouse, say, boy, that sure does have an odor today. They say, man, that thing stinks. So you go ahead and try to convince me if you want about all those modern translations that tried to destroy the Word of God. Hey, I like my Bible. It's clear tonight. It's plain tonight. And it's simple. Maybe like the children of Israel, you're asking tonight, can God? They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Now, there are two classes of people in this church tonight. There's two classes of people in every church. There is maybe that group, maybe let's just say on this side there's a group that's saying, can God? Maybe over here there's a group that's going through the valley. Maybe that's already been through the valley. They'll say, yes, God can. But here's the thing about it. Next week, this crowd may be over there. And maybe next week, this crowd that's saying, yes, God can, they may be over here next week saying, man, can God? See, that's the way we're made up. And see, we don't get up here on the mountain and stay there. Man, that'd be great if we could. Man, I didn't lose her. I know where she's at. My wife went to heaven 7 years ago. Last month, after 43 years of marriage, she died in my arms. You know, sometimes, a little valley, but you know, I helped her preacher. She stared in my eyes. The family's all around the bed in their living room. Had a bed there in the living room. I didn't want her in the hospital. We wanted to keep her home as long as I can. And she struggled to breathe. I guess we call it down south the death rattles. But I'm not thinking that way. I'm thinking, well, if I set her up in the bed, she'll be able to breathe better. So I slipped my arm under her shoulder and raised her up, and her eyes met contact with mine, and she went into the presence of the Savior. Man, I thank God for my Bible. Absent from the body is to be where? Presence with the Lord. Oh, listen, folks, I thank God tonight that I know that my God can. Oh, there was a little valley. It always is, but listen, after 40-some years in ministry, say, man, God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask according to the power that worketh in us. Let me give you an example. I try to stay with the Scripture. I'll get to the first point. I only got one, but a few sub-points after it. But I preach it when God saved me. And man, I have this burning desire. Like Jeremiah, what is it, chapter 20, verse 9? His word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. I was weary with forbearing and could not say. Simply put, he said, man, I can't keep my mouth shut. Man, I was like that with the Bible. So I go out and I said, man, I preached in nursing homes and jails, but man, I wanted more. I had to preach, and I go out and I find a storefront in Pontiac and Waterford, Michigan, really. Found a little storefront there, and I looked at it and I thought, you know, I visualize a pulpit here and chairs over here, and I thought, man, that'll work for a little church. I called the number on the window, and the fella said, what do you want that building for? I didn't want to tell him over the phone. I said, I'd rather not talk over the phone. I'd rather meet you in person. Made an appointment. He came to my house, and we sat around the breakfast table. He said, what do you want that building for? And I said, I want to put a church in there. He said, how many people you got? I don't have none. Just me and my wife and kids. And he said, how you going to pay the rent? And I said, the offering tithes of God's people. He said, let me see. How many people did you say you had? I said, don't have any. He said, tell me again how you going to pay the rent. I said, with the offering and the tithes of God's people. He said, where are God's people? I said, I don't know. But if you'll let me have that building, I'll go round them up. I sat there 2 hours. When he left my house, not only did I get the building, he paid the rent the first 3 months. Hey, can God? Can God meet your need? Yes, God can tonight. Oh, I left there, man. I was excited. I went out to how the Lord blessed us and encouraged us. The first family that I visited paid the, I signed a year lease. He gave me 3 months. I went to first visit, and the next man paid the next 3 months. Hey, listen, a little while later, went off the walls out. The rent doubled. What are you saying? Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Yes, God can. Can God meet your need tonight? Yes, God can. All we have to do is remember back. I don't want to keep you all night. But when my wife died, preacher, I never had maybe, you know, preachers sometimes are less prepared than many people when it comes to things financial like that. I never said nothing to nobody. I've been to evangelism quite a while. My pastor sent a letter out of my mailing list, said Brother Bill had to come off the road. His wife is ill and sick, and of course she only lived 5 weeks from the day she got the news. And make a long story short, preacher, through my mailbox, I don't get money through the mailbox, in 10 days after the funeral and medical bills that I had, $17,000-some. I didn't have it, and guess what happened? Within 10 days, over $17,000 came in. Hey, can God meet your need? Yes, God can. So when I begin to doubt, I just let my mind go back and remember what God has done in the past. And if God did it in the past, He can do it in the present. I go to my Bible and find out how that God worked miracles and how that God blessed people. And I realize God is no respect of persons. Hey, I serve the same God that these Jews served. Hey, God met their need, and God took care of them. He can take care of us as well. Oh, listen, this wasn't the world asking this question. This was God's people. These were people who had been delivered from bondage by the blood of the Lamb. Can God, they said, furnish a table in the wilderness? Then they asked that question in verse 10 and 11. They kept not His covenant of God, refused to walk in His law. They forgot His works, the wonders that He had shown them. Listen, notice what they had forgotten. They had forgotten His works. They had forgotten what He had done. Oh, listen, when you and I find ourselves in the wilderness of doubt, we find ourselves beginning to question God. Let your mind go back and remember His works. They got in trouble. They begin to doubt when they forgot His works. Oh, to be like David in Psalm 37, verse 25. The Bible said this. David said, I've been young, and now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. I'd like to say tonight that God has taken care of me over the years. God has blessed us. And as the preacher mentioned earlier, we ought to just praise God. I like the verse that said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Oh, praise ye the Lord tonight. I'm saying, can God? Yes, God can tonight. Romans chapter 10, verse 17, the Bible says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. They asked this question because they had forgotten His works and His power. Now, number one tonight, and I really only have the one point. Listen, one tonight, when you and I begin to doubt and question God, we need to remember what He has done in the past. Do you think your problem tonight? You say, preacher, my problem, my burden, my hurt is so deep and my it's so big. Well, I know, I don't know what it is, but I know it can be heavy. But take that problem. Put it upside of the creation of the world, for instance. Remember what God said? Remember in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Now if God can do that, if He can take nothing, speak this world into existence, I think maybe He can take care of our problem tonight. See, I don't think your problem, my problem, is all that big tonight. I know it when we're going through that valley, my, it's so heavy and it hurts so much. But when we put it up beside those things that God has done, they forgot his works. Therefore, they asked the question, can God? I'm saying tonight, when you and I remember his works, we'll begin to say, yes, God can. Oh, yes, God can. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which were not made of things which do appear. God took nothing and made this world. May I add something? Because if you read books and commentaries, sometimes they'll confuse you. Thank God we got a Bible tonight. Hey, he did it in six literal 24-hour days. He didn't spend 6,000. Well, preacher, my Bible said that a day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day. Yes, but God spoke to you and I. He put it in our language. How long's a day in your language? See, with God, God's not on a time schedule. See, he speaks to you and I. He speaks in our six literal, physical 24 hours. He rested on the Sabbath not because he was tired, but because he was finished. Oh, then after creation. Now think about it. Remember his works now. Remember what God has done. It'll help you when you're in that situation asking that question, can God? Man, why? Why am I going through this heart hurt? Why am I going through this heartache? Lord, what is it? Why? Just remember what God has done in the past. Oh, he took that man. Think about it. He created the world. Then he created man in Genesis 2, verse 7. The Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. Oh, listen, somebody tried to tell me the other day. They said, you know, you can't argue with science, and science says the world is so many billion years old. I said, you know, if you'd looked at Adam about 10 minutes after he was created, wonder how old he would have looked. When God created him, he didn't put him in diapers. He was created, preacher. He was a man. If science had done their little trick and their little test, they'd have said he's X amount of years old. He had the age of appearance. Listen, God created the world in 6 days, and God created man. Then he put that man to sleep, and he took a rib out of his side and created him a helpmeet. Hey, just remember what God has done. Took that man, think about it. Opened him up, performed the first surgery. Took that rib out and made him a helpmeet. Thank God for the helpmeets he gives you. Hey, fellas, how long's it been since you just kind of snuggled up to your helpmate and said, honey, I love you and I appreciate you? Oh, it gets quiet, preacher. Fellas, sometimes I'm telling you, we don't treat our wives. That's another subject for another day. Man, we ought to let them know we love them. Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Yes, God can. Let's go a little farther. Here's another miracle I want you to think about. See, I'm just trying to remind you of these miracles, these things that God did to encourage you and build your faith so that when you begin to doubt God, you will go back and remember his works. They forgot his works. Therefore, they said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Look at the Red Sea experience. I mean, here's God. Finally, Pharaoh has said, okay. And the children of Israel have left. And then Pharaoh, as you know, as he always did, God had hardened his heart. He decided we better bring them back. They get up to the Red Sea, God's people, and Moses takes that rod and puts that over the Red Sea. And the Bible said the waters went hither and thither and wall on each side, and God's people went through on dry land. Said dry land. The enemy came by and started to do that, and God and Moses put that rod, and you remember how Pharaoh's army was destroyed. I was traveling, preacher, late at night, and I have the Bible on a little flash drive and I listen to and have some gospel music and so on. And sometimes I'll just flip radio on late at night and try to get some gospel preaching or something of that nature. And one night I was going through the channels and this fellow was preaching and caught my ear and I began to listen. He was preaching in Exodus and the crossing of the Red Sea. And all at once he said something like this. He said, you know, if you were to study, you would find that in that part of the country, there is a Red Sea, R-E-D, There is a reed, C-R-E-E-D. I became all ears wondering where he's going with this. And he said, now, here's what really happened. He said, the translators, he said, when they translated that, it was not ready. The reed, see, it was the, or not the red sea, it was the reed, see, and they just left an E out. And he said the reed sea was only 2 inches deep. I got so excited I had to pull over and have myself a Babacostal fit, man. You say, why? That old infidel trying to destroy my Bible, as far as I was concerned, made a greater miracle out of it. You mean to tell me that God drowned Pharaoh's army in 2 inches of water? A pretty stupid army, wasn't it? They couldn't roll their nose up out of 2 inches of water. Hey, don't fool with my Bible. You'll be on the losing side every time. God's Word said it was the Red Sea. It was the Red Sea. Don't you allow those Bible correctors to correct you tonight, to change your mind. Hey, let's look at another fellow. I'm just trying to give you a few. I'll be done in a little while here. Just a few things to remember, to look at. When you're going through your wilderness tonight, when you begin to doubt, and you begin to question God, and you begin to ask God, why? Why is this happening to me? I remember Elijah. Hey, Elijah, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? I wonder what Elijah would say. There's been a drought for some 3.5 years. Oh, the Bible said this in 1 Kings, beginning with 17, verses 2 through 6. Lord God came unto him, saying, get thee hence, turn thee eastward. Hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. It shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, as I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. He went and did according to the word of the Lord. He went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that was before Jordan. And the ravens, think about this, the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the water that came from the brook. My preacher, my pastor says, he says when you read the Bible, try to visualize what's going on. Maybe I'm trying to do that, and I don't know, sometimes maybe I ain't got too much of a visualization sometimes. I thought about that, and I tried to wonder, where did them ravens get that meat at? Everything I said tonight's been Bible. Now I'm going to give you just an opinion for a moment. When I give you an opinion, I'll tell you. I said, where in the world could they have gotten that meat at? Now there's a famine. Then it dawned on me, you know when there's a famine in a land, the kings are still eating? You remember Saddam a while back with his 7 palaces? You remember them people starving, had nothing, but he had 7 palaces, and man, he had servants and butlers and food in his place. And I'm thinking, you know, God, I think God has a sense of humor too, folks. And I can see, preacher, I don't know, I told you this is my opinion. Now I'll get back to giving you Bible in verse in a minute. But I can see Elijah. I can see Ahab. Maybe him and old wicked Jezebel sitting at the dinner table. No air conditioning. Maybe the windows are open a little bit. And I can see it as the servant comes in and he brings that big steak, sets it in front of Ahab. Remember now, God can furnish a table. He's got a servant out there, got nothing, sets it down, and I can see old Ahab as he gets that fork and knife, and about the time he reaches down to cut that snake, in comes that raven, swoops it up and goes out the window and takes it down to God's servant. Now, I don't know if it happened like that, but I kind of like to think it does. The thing is that God can furnish a table in the wilderness tonight. Regardless of your problem, child of God, oh, it's there for a reason. But God can turn that thing around. He can bring you through that tonight. Now, sometimes we look at things wrong. Sometimes we listen to the wrong channels and the wrong preachers. That health, wealth, and prosperity foolishness. But see, when we get into the Bible, we see men like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. God didn't keep them out of the fire, but God went into the fire with them. He protected them. Thank God they came out not even smelling like smoke. God took your seat. Sometimes you've got to go through that sometimes. But hey, as you're going through it, keep your mind on what God has done in the past. Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Yes, God can. Just one or two more biblical illustrations. Do you realize that Joshua prayed for time to stop? Do you realize that he prayed for time to stop and God, being it God answering prayer, heard his prayer? In the book of Joshua chapter 10 and verse 12, then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. Said in the sight of Israel, Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and moon in the valley of Ajalon. Verse 13 said, and the sun stood still and the moon stayed. Hey, can God meet your need tonight? Yes, God can. Hey, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Yes, God can. You see all through the Bible where God met the needs of his children. Oh, listen, can God? Then there was Samson. Think about Samson. I'm just trying to remind you of some miracles in the Bible. When you go through your valley, you're in that desert place, having that desert experience, questioning God. Let your mind go back and remember his works. Remember what he has done in days gone by. Samson, it said in Judges chapter 15, verse 15, found the jawbone of an ass, put forth his hand and took it and slew 1,000 men. Can you imagine the jawbone of an old donkey with the power of God upon it? God is a majority when he has just one person that's willing to do what he wants. Man, he takes that jawbone, he goes into battle. The Bible says he slays 1,000 men. The jawbone of that old donkey. Can God? Yes, God does. Can. Then the Bible goes on to say, just after that, get down to verse 16, 17, it said that he took that old jawbone after he killed 1,000 men with it, threw it to the side. Then in verse 18, he said to God, I'm dying of thirst. I think maybe if we'd just been to battle and killed 1,000 men, we'd be a little thirsty too. God, I'm dying of thirst. Then verse 19, the Bible said, God caused water to flow out of that bone of that old donkey to revive his servant. I mean, that old boy, he just used it. He threw it aside. And God caused water to come out of it to revive. Hey, can God? Yes, God can. Can God take? Yes, God can. Can God bring you through that valley? Yes, God can. Can he bring you out of that valley? Yes, God can. I'm saying tonight that God can. We come to the New Testament, just a couple and we're done. Come to the New Testament, you get to Matthew chapter number 14, verses 13 through 21. And Jesus takes 5 loaves and feeds 5,000. But in reality, he feeds much more than 5,000. They had large families in those days. It says he fed 5,000 plus women and children. I think 20,000 would have been a small crowd. Because in those days, just if each man was married, that would double it to 10. And two. I mean, in that day, they had large families. Nevertheless, he took those 5 loaves, those fishes, and he fed that whole. Hey, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Yes, God can. Now, where were these people at? They were in a desert place, it said, in Matthew chapter number 14 and verse 13. God furnished a table there in the wilderness. Folks, God can meet your need tonight. Last but not least, there was Lazarus. Remember, he's been dead 4 days, and she said by this time he stinketh. He'd been dead 4 days. Do you realize that Jesus deliberately, when called for, waited for that fourth day? He comes in, and the Bible said, John 11, 43 and verse 44, when he had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, said, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth bound foot to hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. Jesus said, loose him and let him go. Hey, can God? Yes, God can. Now, they questioned God because they forgot his works. So if you think about it, say, wait a minute, they forgot his works, and therefore they begin to say, can God? We could reverse that and just remember his works. Maybe we wouldn't ask the question as often. Listen, folks, I don't know what the problem is tonight, what your heartache is. Man, we all go through them. But I'm just trying to get us to see tonight. We in the valley, man, there's always a mountaintop yonder. See, so you have to keep your eyes on the goal. Keep your eyes. They talked about it in Sunday school this morning. What a good job. You talked about Peter on that water. You see, when Peter stepped out of the boat, and I went back and read it again this afternoon, the storm was already there. It wasn't that Peter stepped out of the water and then came the storm. No, the storm was already there. Bible said that Peter said, Lord, they began to question who it was. Lord, if it be thee, bid me to come upon the water. And Jesus said, come. The Bible said that Peter stepped out of the water. And I believe, as the teacher said this morning, they took a few steps. Because he did walk on the water. How long, we do not know. But I know one thing, as long as he had his eyes on Jesus, he's walking on that water. But the Bible said when he saw the storm was boisterous, storm was already there. It did not bother him as long as his eyes was on Jesus. But when he got his eyes off Jesus and on the problem, on the water and the waves and all of that, he began to sink. Hey, child of God, bless you and I. Oh, we may be tonight in that wilderness. Maybe doubting tonight. Preacher, I've seen people been saved for years, and sometimes you get out of God's will and get out into the world and break that fellowship, and they begin to doubt whether they were ever saved or not. I believe, bless God, when a man's saved, he's saved. But I'm telling you, sometimes as God's children, we can get to that place. What's the Bible say? 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Every one of us tonight. So when those folks around you are struggling and they're coming to you talking about that problem, man, pray for them, encourage them, try to get them to look at those things that God has done. Remember what God, even in your own life, the miracles that he's done. I get into financial problems, I remember how God met my need through that funeral. I had throat, I've got to quit with this, honest. I had throat surgery a few years ago. Doctor said, I asked the doctor, first thing when I came out, and that doctor came in, first thing I said, I had a heart attack. I'm getting the two mixed up here. First thing I said, well, that doctor had the heart attack. I said, how long before I can preach again? He said, well, preaching isn't a strenuous job. He said, you ought to be able in about 10 days. I went back a week later to the guy that actually did the surgery, and I said, Doc, I had my wife with me. Man, leave them women at home when you go to the doctor's, fella. Had my wife with me, and I thought maybe this doctor would be different. I said, Doc, I said, how long before I can preach again? He said, well, preach is not a strenuous job. He said, about 10 days, unless you get excited. Do you get excited? You ever been to that place you didn't want to tell a lie and didn't want to tell the truth? I said, a little bit. My wife said, Doc, he gets a whole lot excited. He said, let's make it 6 weeks, and I think, wait till I get you home. You know how we are. We're real nice in public. We get in the car and we're going home. I said, honey, we'd only been married about 35 years then. I said, honey, you need to learn when to keep your mouth shut. What are you talking about? I said, thanks to you, I got to go 6 weeks. I said, you know, we're living off of love offerings. 6 weeks. She said, well, what's your favorite verse again? Boy, they know how to get you, don't they? And I said, you mean Matthew 6:33? Yeah. She said, can you quote it for me? Well, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. She said, now, what do you tell people those things are? See, them women are silent, but they can preach when you get them home. I said, food, clothing, shelter. Oh, so you mean God's not first in your life? I said, oh, man, she's got me. I went to the mailbox. I'd been over here and preached for Dr. David Sumner Morristown, Tennessee, Victory Baptist Church. He's now in Murfreesboro, but I preached for him over there, revivals, for 10 years. I'd just been there like the second year or so, and got a letter, and I opened the letter up, and there's a letter and a check. Let me ask you a question. When you open the letter up and it has a check and a letter, which one you look at first? See, we're just alike. He said, $1,000. I said, wow, I better read this letter. Brother Bell, been a blessing to our church, and Dr. Hamlin just notified us that you've been in the hospital and said, we know that you're an evangelist. You've been a blessing to us. We wanted to help you. Make a long story short, I went back on the road preacher in 4 weeks instead of six. Had a meeting. I canceled 4 weeks. That fifth Sunday, I went to Danvers, Illinois, to Danvers Baptist Church. And I thought, you know, there was 4 weeks through my mailbox. Now, I don't get this kind of money when I'm preaching. Through them 4 weeks, preacher, over $4,000 came through my mailbox. Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Yes, God can. I drove about 500 miles and preached all week, and the fellow gave me $500, and I thought, spent $200 for gas. I thought, man, I should have took that fifth week off. God takes care of me better than Baptist preachers do. Just ain't it good to just be honest? See what I'm saying, folks? I'm saying God can take care of you tonight. Now, I'll quit with that, but listen, God can take care of us tonight. I mean, what is your problem tonight? What is that hurt? What is that doubt? What is that sorrow that you're going through tonight? Maybe it's financial. Maybe it's illness. Listen, God can furnish that table. But when we get down and we get discouraged, just like Thomas, just like John the Baptist, we begin to doubt. We begin to question God. So I'm just saying, child of God, when you begin to question Him tonight, just remember what He's done. Would you stand with me tonight as the pianist comes and begins to play softly? Our Father, tonight we are grateful for Your goodness and Your mercy. Lord, help us tonight. Help us to realize that regardless of the problem, Lord, regardless of the heartache tonight, God, help us to realize that You can meet our need. God, help us to realize that we just need to get our mind cleared and get it centered upon You and upon Your works. Lord, we are needy people tonight. We need You in a special way. God, there's folks here tonight, no doubt hurting, and some folks tonight who maybe just to have a little doubt and maybe question You because of the illness in their life or the hurt or the heartache or maybe that wayward child, whatever it may be tonight. God, help us. She begins to play softly. How is it tonight between You and the Savior?